were delegates from various parts of Australia, and all up you had a representation of about 30 nations.
How many heads?
Well, you had more than 30 people, of course. There was about 40 or 50 people there. And they were sort of coming and going in terms of the local people, yeah. No, it was a good gathering.
Before we connected, you were telling me that you handled three main complexes. Tell me about them.
Well, the three main ones are people at the community levels are screaming for help. And they focus on, you know, child welfare, forced removal of children from families, drug and sexual assault, domestic violence. But, you know, the people were very clear about where this comes from, and that is the absolute anemic state of the people where, you know, there's no true sense of belonging, you know. They're lost out there in purgatory, you know, and they feel like they're in purgatory. And where anarchy prevails. And the thing is that they don't relate to the Western world or the white world. They're still attached very much to their own Aboriginal world. But unfortunately, the elders and the leaders are gone and they're leaderless. They don't have the resources because they're poverty-stricken to be able to break free and get into their Aboriginality. And they don't want to come into the Western white world because they have to compromise their Aboriginality. So they're between a rock and a hard place, and the people are looking for guidance as to how to get out of that because they don't want to be assimilated. They want to be who they are and be able to live in both worlds.
The other ones, the other two issues?
The other issue basically is, okay, how do we now get back to our sovereign ambitions of becoming self-determining and getting the resources that will enable us to build our communities? And so we need those resources. And their frustration was that governments have all these resources in the name of the Indigenous estate, but it's all controlled and regulated by government statutes. And the minister has ultimate say, whether it be state regimes or Commonwealth regimes. And so those resources are so desperately needed in our communities, and they've been gathering those resources in the name of Aborigines, you know, in the name of the Indigenous people. The Indigenous people don't have control because the government appoint half white and half black, and these people are engendering and designing programs of assimilation through the reconciliation process. And this media campaign of bridging the gap, but bridging the gap is bringing us from the state of being an Aborigine to being fully absorbed into Western society. And that's promoting the old assimilation policies. The third one is that, okay, we have a statute of England that is still legal, and now we need to force these rights and have the governments acknowledge this. But this is the greatest challenge that we have, is because there's 22 million of them and there's probably about a million of us. So the greatest challenge is, how do we weave our way through to getting those 22 million people to understand that Aboriginal people do retain sovereignty and dominion over their land? And the fact that by sheer weight of numbers, we're unable to get control of our own economics and control of our land so that we develop it in conjunction with white people, and let's talk about a new arrangement.
Sovereignty, isn't that too airy-fairy a concept for people who are scratching and eking to make a living?
No, I think a lot of people understand what sovereignty can do. They understand that sovereignty makes them who they are and gives them and bestows those rights upon them. But the thing is that, as we say, the sheer weight of numbers is our greatest enemy. But that does not mean to say that there are other vehicles and other avenues through which we can gain the upper hand, even though we are the minority, and we're not going to divulge too much at this stage.
Let's theoretically say Aboriginal sovereignty were here. What would Aborigines be deciding?
Well, first of all, it will require an absolute revamp of everything that exists in this country. Laws, the way we do things, land title, land development, all that will have to be revalued, reassessed and restructured. But it'll be restructured on the basis of negotiations, meaningful negotiations with those who are in power now and Aboriginal leaders around this country. So it'll be a treaty arrangement where, people will come to agreement about certain rights and organisational programming for development in Aboriginal communities the way Aboriginal people will want it. But that will be done by law, by way of a treaty.
This is likely to scare white people, don't you think?
Why would they be scared of 1% of the population? You know, if it was all done wrong, well, then they got something to be fearful of. But they need not be fearful of us. They need to be fearful of those lying, deceitful leaders that they keep electing.